got a funny signed playing card or trading card of Jock Collender, who is the all-time leading scorer in the IHL that played in Cleveland for a long time. Now he's the ambassador for the team, does a lot of the TV work as well with them, and is just kind of a guy that's around. I got an autograph from him back when I was a kid, and so I'm going to bring it up and show it to him tonight. I hope he gets a kick out of that. But yeah, if they had a Druden for me, I'd be more than excited, because those are classics. The teal and black and yellow that they wore back in the day was a good look for them, I think. So I'm excited to see it all happen again tonight.
Calendar actually has his jersey number retired, right? His number is hanging in the rafters.
That is right, and in fact, I was at the game where they retired his number back in the day. So, it's kind of fun. It really does speak a lot about kind of the history of hockey in Cleveland, and, you know, Cleveland has a great history, even though the NHL didn't stick. You know, there's been some teams from, you know, the Barons of the NHL to the Crusaders, the WHL, and then the Lumberjacks in the mid-90s had a good run. And even now, the Monsters, you know, on a night like this, on weekends, they draw huge crowds at the Q. And so, what's now Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, I still want to call it the Q. But it's pretty cool to see that even though Columbus has the NHL team, there's still pretty good hockey history and hockey background in Cleveland, and they'll be celebrating that tonight.
Great stuff. Well, there's a lot to celebrate as far as hockey goes in Columbus and Cleveland, for that matter. But let's stick with Columbus. Boy, a 2-1 win in overtime over the Bruins last night. The Jackets are still on a roll. Jeff, what were your three major takeaways from that 2-1 win over the Bruins last night?
I think that might have been the best game of the season that the Blue Jackets played. It extended the point streak to 12 games, which is tied for third longest in franchise history. If they can win tomorrow, it'll be the second longest in franchise history. So, you know, a lot of good things are happening for the Blue Jackets right now. I said just the way that they played that game, they've got so many guys who are banged up, and we've talked about that in these spots throughout the year, and right now they're down 10 guys. I mean, that's you dress 18 skaters in a game and one goalie, and that's 19 players, and you're down 10 guys. So you can do the math. That's more than half of the team that they just don't have available right now, and yet they go into Boston, which is one of the hardest buildings in the league to play in last night. They win the game 2-1, and they played 60 good minutes of hockey. They were on their game from the second the puck was dropped. It was just a performance where everyone did exactly what they had to do to win that game. And so that was probably my number one takeaway, was just how well that they played, where it kind of felt like coming off an emotional win on New Year's Eve where they beat Sergei Bobrovsky, the former goalie, and the streak got to 11. It just felt like, you know, coming off that big win, is this maybe the game where it all kind of falls apart a little bit, and you take that first loss in quite some time. Instead, they went out and played one of their best games of the season. So they did that. They limited. Boston has one of the best lines in the NHL, if not the best line in the NHL. And they limited the damage that line was able to do. Really all night played well against them. And then they got a great goal. It was the winning goal that should have been all over the highlight reels, because it's a play that defenseman Seth Jones, who's one of the best defensemen in the NHL, makes a play that there's only a few guys can make, where he takes the puck. If a hockey rink's 200 feet long, he took it about 180 and then passed it off for the game-winning goal in overtime. And so it was just a great win and a great performance, and hopefully they can kind of keep building on it right now, because they put themselves right back in it.
Elvis was not only in the building last night, he was between the pipes last night as well, turned in a really nice performance. What did you make of his performance yesterday?
I think it's been awesome to see what Elvis Merzlikins has done the last two games. He was the guy who came in and probably hadn't played as poorly as the numbers suggested, but he had some games where he just did not have good games as the backup, including the first game of the year where he gives up 7 goals in Pittsburgh in the second game of the year, which was his first game. And you suddenly kind of realize, like, oh, boy, is this guy ready for prime time? And, you know, it took him a while to kind of find his game, especially, you know, used to playing on a bigger rink over in Europe. He's used to being the man. He's used to being the guy. He's the guy who relishes and lives for the spotlight and has a swagger about him and just wants to be the guy. And when he wasn't the guy, as Jonas Korpisalo took over as the number one goalie and, you know, was playing his butt off as the season kind of moved into December here. You know, Elvis, I think there was a little bit of soul-searching as far as what he was going to be. But then Korpisalo gets hurt. Elvis has to be the number one guy. And he's gone out in two straight games against, you know, two of the highest-scoring teams in the league. He's gone out there and been fantastic, only giving up 2 goals in those 2 starts combined. We're starting to see exactly what people thought this guy could be. He came over tapped as one of the best goalies in the world who was not playing in the NHL. And we just hadn't seen it early on, but I think, you know, once he knew he was the starter, and once the Korpisalo injury happened, Elvis kind of gathered himself and realized that this was his big chance, and he had to go out there and seize it. And, you know, he's a guy that you know, we talk about that swagger. I think the fact that now it was depending, you know, that he was going to be depended on and he was going to be the guy, I think that meant a lot to him. And I think he's gone out there and just showed what he can do in these last two games. And hopefully he keeps going forward because, you know, they're going to need him for, you know, 4 to 6 weeks with this injury to the starter. So it'll be interesting to see how he keeps going. I don't think his game is 100% there yet, but we're starting to see what he could be as he kind of gets through his NHL career here.
Well, it's hard to believe, but we're halfway through this season. I'm sure to you, Jeff, it feels like there are some days where it feels like it just started, and there are other days where it feels like it started about 2 or 3 years ago. But here we are, halfway through the season, and boy, there certainly have been some ups and downs along the way. But what would you say has, A, been the prevailing theme to this season, and B, the most surprising thing that you have seen this season with the Jackets?
I would say the prevailing theme, and you're referencing an article I wrote today on BlueJackets.com, is just in the way that they play defensively. They still score goals, but they're not one of the highest scoring teams in the league, and they lost their leading scorer from a season ago, and Artemi Panarin, who went to the New York Rangers, and they lost some guys they got at the trade deadline who could put the puck in the net. And so I think they knew going into the season, certainly head coach John Tortorella knew, that if they were going to win games, they were not going to win games 5-4 and 6-5. That they were going to have to play just a good, solid hockey game. They were going to have to play defense. They were going to have to force turnovers and get offense off of that. And that's what they've done. If you look at some of the advanced numbers and even the traditional numbers, this is one of the best defensive teams in the National Hockey League. Last night, I think, was just a phenomenal defensive game against Boston, as I said, who can almost score at will with their top line. They really limited the chances there. And, you know, sometimes it's not the most entertaining hockey, and sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. But they've just stuck with it, and they've just played defense and, you know, not beat themselves for the most part. And if you can do that, you're going to win a lot of games at the end of the day, you know, especially through the 82-game season. If you just play solid, you're going to rack them up, and that's what they've been doing here over the last little bit. And then maybe the most surprising thing is I don't think anybody foresaw with the injuries just that they would be able to play this well through that much adversity that they have found. They've called up guys, and they're playing guys right now who you just did not think we're even on the radar, to be honest with you, and that's, you know, nothing against them. But there are guys that were just, you know, you thought were going to be Cleveland monsters for most of the season, and they're playing big minutes for the Blue Jackets right now, and the Blue Jackets are winning games, not in spite of them, but you could even say because of them, because of just what they've brought to the team and the way that they're sticking to the game the way that it has to be played. And so it's been fun to see. I don't know that there's a team in the NHL that's had as many injuries as the Blue Jackets this season. There's $30 million in salary that's sitting out right now. And yet this team is still the hottest team in the NHL, I would say. And so it's been amazing to kind of see how this whole thing has come together. Yet you watch them play, and it doesn't look like they've missed a beat. So that's credit to the coaching, credit to the depth of the organization, and just credit to what they've kind of built over these last couple of seasons.
Again, we're speaking with Jeff Svoboda, Columbus Blue Jackets insider here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, well, it's interesting. When you take a look at this 12-game point streak, there's a lot to like, but you mentioned it just a few moments ago. A lot of the guys who have become key contributors with all the injuries, they were guys that, as you mentioned, a lot of people thought would be Cleveland Monsters, or in the case of this weekend, Cleveland Lumberjacks. But on your way up there today, I mean, obviously you'll get a chance to see some guys who still may get an opportunity to play with the Jackets later on this season. And for our listeners who may be headed down there tonight to catch that contest, who are some of the names that they should be looking very, very closely at?
I would say there's a few that come to mind immediately. Couple forwards who I think are fun to watch. Trey Fix-Wolanski and Cole Sherwood are two guys that stand out to me as guys who I think will be Blue Jackets in the future. Fix-Wolanski is a rookie pro guy. He was in junior hockey last year out in Edmonton in the Western Hockey League. And was one of the top scorers in that league, had over 100 points a season ago in just over 60 games. So this is a guy that can score. He's only 5'7", and so he's one of those guys that has to work for it. But he's also a guy that I think his competitiveness and his drive, that they foresee him as an NHL player in the future. And he's been banged up this year. I think he missed about a month and a half with a lower body injury to start the year, which really short-circuited him because I think they thought he could jump in right away and contribute. But I think he's a guy that as he kind of built himself back up from that injury, is a guy that can put the puck in the net and score and is going to be able to do it at the National Hockey League level. And then Cole Sherwood is a guy from New Albany, Ohio, first guy from Central Ohio to ever play for the Blue Jackets. He's just in his second professional season, but he's a big guy. He can skate. He's got speed. He's not afraid to hit. And he can score a little bit, too. So I think he's the guy that as he gets more experience, he's going to be someone who's going to play a number of years in Columbus as his game kind of matures. And so I think he's a fun guy to watch as well. And obviously with the tie to Columbus, he's also someone a lot of people in Central Ohio are rooting for. And then on top of that, the goaltender, Veini Vesalainen, which is quite a mouthful. But he's come over from Finland. He was the best goalie in Finland the last 2 years, and it wasn't even close. A guy they drafted relatively recently, kind of a steal in the late round. But he's been fantastic for the Monsters all year. He's been among the leaders in goals against average for the entire season in the AHL. A great kid. You know, he just stops the puck. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's just technically sound. And he just, you know, you watch him and you go, you don't realize how many saves he makes until you look at the number at the end of the night and go, wow, he had a really good game, and I didn't even really notice it. But he just stops the puck. I love his personality. Just a great kid from Finland, and I think that down the road, he's a guy that will be an NHL goaltender as well.
Well, before we get a quick look at what's going on tomorrow afternoon with the Blue Jackets, they're playing host to the San Jose Sharks. I want to ask you about a piece that you put together, the Columbus Blue Jackets Moment of the Decade Bracket. What are some of the finalists? And, boy, you guys must have had a lot of fun putting that one together.
We did. We had some meetings. We had some discussions. We kind of all got together. And as an organization, not just me, but our social media department and our PR department, and even our game management department, video department, kind of said, okay, what are the things that stand out over the 10 years from 2010 to 2019? And we put together 16 moments and started a bracket a couple weeks ago, and now we're down to the semifinals here, which started today. And we also have a setup where a fan's going to win a jersey if they vote as well. So hopefully, go ahead and go to BlueJackets.com and check out the link. You might end up winning a Blue Jackets jersey. Let's say we're down to the final four, and I think we all kind of expect that, you know, the one that's going to be hard to beat is the sweep of Tampa Bay in the playoffs last year. You know, not just the first ever playoff win for the Blue Jackets in a series, but to do it against a team that had a historically good season. I think that kind of resonates really well with really the entire Blue Jackets fan base. There's also some other good things in there. There's the hiring of John Tortorella, which has really turned this franchise around, and he's become really in a lot of ways the face of the franchise, and including with his rant over the weekend that has become kind of went viral about the referees and even getting fined for that. But at the same time, Blue Jackets fans love how he kind of stood up for the franchise there and stood up for his team after a game that, you know, really they kind of got a really bad break with the officiating. And so, yeah, he's a guy that has, you know, really become the face of the franchise. We also have him there in the semifinals. The 16-game win streak the team had a couple years ago, which is the second longest in NHL history. And then also there was a moment, one of my favorite moments, and I'm glad this one has done so well. One of my favorite players ever were the Union Blue. Matt Calvert got hit with a puck in the face during a game a couple years ago. Was, you know, bleeding all over the place. Leaves the game, comes back in the third period, and scores the game-winning goal. And Calvert's always been a fan favorite among Blue Jackets fans. So those are some of the things that kind of stand out among, I guess, among the fan base, because they voted for these things as we started with 16. So those are definitely good memories among Blue Jackets fans. We'll see who ends up getting the victory.
Yeah, good stuff. And again, you guys must have had a lot of fun putting all that together. All right, Jeff, well, before we let you go, we mentioned the Jackets taking on the San Jose Sharks tomorrow afternoon at 1. What should we be looking for in this matchup tomorrow afternoon?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the Jackets just have to keep rolling. San Jose is just a team that's struggling right now. They're in the bottom 6 or 7 in the league in both scoring and goals allowed, and it's really hard to win that way. When you're not good at scoring and you're not good at stopping the other team from scoring, you're just not going to win a lot of games. And so the Sharks are a team, they've only won 3 of, I think, their last 14 games. And so you have to put the pedal to the metal when you cannot win this game. You cannot say, okay, we went to Boston and we beat one of the best teams in the NHL, and we're just going to go home and we're going to play San Jose and we're going to win. You cannot think that way. You got to go out there, put in a full 60 minutes. You know, Elvis is a guy that does not, I don't think he loves afternoon games. I think he's very routine-oriented, like a lot of goaltenders are. And you know, 90% of hockey games are played at 7 p.m., so, you know, these guys are very routine-oriented, and you got to figure out a way to have it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow. This is one of the rare matinees that the Blue Jackets have this season. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And matinee games are weird in general. Like I say, guys are so used to playing at night that you go early, and just everything's a little bit off. And so sometimes these games are not the best games, but you got to fight through it. You know, you've got so many young guys that are hungry and who are, you know, young guys who have not played a whole lot of NHL games. And so there's no excuse for those guys to not be ready to go when they get the opportunity to put on that sweater and go out there and play. So, you know, you just got to fight through it. You got to put in another solid game, and you got to keep the streak going.
Well, let's hope that that point streak reaches a baker's dozen tomorrow afternoon. Jeff, safe travels to and from, and we hope to do this again next week.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Again, that's Jeff Sobota, Columbus Blue Jackets insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.